Mark chapter 4, verse number 24, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath." Fabulous passage. It's an interesting one, and kind of goes against kind of maybe some thoughts that we might even have just in society, where typically those that have, people would take, so those that don't have can have, and it goes against that. And we're going to look and see exactly why it is. There's a principle in this text here that goes back to sowing, the sowing and reaping principle. And we're going to connect that there. We'll come back to that text just after a few to kind of bring some understanding to it. But let's go ahead and pray before we do that. God, thank you for today. We thank you for the time that we've already had. Thank you for the good testimony time, Lord. It's a blessing to hear that you are at work in people's lives, and that the working there is such that they've thought it important to testify of it and just give you glory for what you're doing. Thank you for the soul that trusted Christ, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you, God, for all that were affected this week, this past week, through our lives, through the giving out of gospel tracts, through just communicating the good word of God with people, Lord, from just everything, God, that we are. Even last week, we learned the light that we are to this world, this dark world, and just for how the word of God's affected us, Lord. God, and truly, we need more light to shine in this day that we live. But God, I pray you take this passage of scripture here that we've read now, and that you would administer to us, help us to understand what it's saying, help us to understand how it applies to our lives right now where we're at, and might we be willing to apply your word, and might you be glorified through it all. We love you. We thank you. Help now this message to be everything, God, you want it to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in this particular text of scripture in Mark 4, verses 24 and 25, it starts off by saying, "Take heed what ye hear." Take heed what ye hear. The phrase there, "take heed," actually means to beware, means to look upon, to perceive, to really look at it such that we're going to pay attention to it. Pay attention to what you hear. Amen. Oftentimes, we don't give a lot of thought to this. We would spend more time maybe being careful about what we say. And the Bible says we're to be slow to speak and quick to hear, right? But at the same time, we want to be careful what we hear. There's a little kid's song about that, right? Be careful, little ears, what you hear, right? And so we teach our young people that. We want to make sure that we learn that lesson so that we as adults could also embody the thought of that message, amen? Now, the phrase "take heed," it's also translated "beware." The same words are translated "beware." I want to show you this. I don't believe that should be the case here at all. Take heed's perfect. It's right. It's the word of God. It's what it should be here. But just to give you a thought about what this phrase means, to take heed, you might be very familiar with the passage Colossians 2 in verse number 8. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." So that word "beware" there is saying, hey, be careful. Be careful. There's those out there that'll try to spoil you or rob from you or take from you. How? By linking you to things that don't profit, like the traditions of men, the rudiments of the world, the very elements of the world. They're going to try to connect you there so that they can take from you. Beware that there are those out there, believe it or not, there are people on this planet, could be in your family, could be at work, could just be a neighbor, could be anyone. There are, especially on the internet, amen, there can be people out there that don't have your best interest in mind, and they want to take from you, right? Maybe monetarily take from you. Maybe purity, take your purity. There are people out there that do not have your best interest in mind. Beware. Amen. That's what that's saying. The same thought of that word is also found in Philippians 3:2. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision.
That's referring to those that would bring you false doctrine. Beware of teachers of false doctrine. They will try to lead you astray with their false doctrine, oftentimes into a movement that they would profit over. Amen? Beware. Be cautious. Just know that this is out there, and then study to prove all things. Amen? Prove what is right. Prove what you should be involved in. Use the Word of God as the tool that God has given it to you to utilize. Amen? For that's one of the purposes. Amen? It's profitable in that way. And so back in our text, it says, take heed what ye hear. Take heed. Beware. You want to be careful, because what you hear does affect you. It causes you to go down different tangents. It causes you to go down different thought processes. It causes things in your lives. In Mark chapter 13 and in verse number 5, we see that phrase take heed used. And it's used in a very way that maybe would help you understand the thought behind this. And it kind of deals with a little bit like we just heard in reference to beware. But in Mark 13, 5, it says, and Jesus answering began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. We don't want to be deceived. Amen. Well, you will be deceived. I will be deceived if we're not on the lookout for that. Amen. Believe it or not, there's a lot of things out there that are trying to lead you down a path that's away from the truth. Amen. It's prevalent in our society. Amen. I remember talking to someone recently, and they said, for the most part, you can trust most people. I just don't believe that's true. I haven't found that to be true, that you can trust most people. No, that's not what I don't even trust my own children. Say, why? Because the Bible never tells me to trust my own children. Love them. Disciple them. Chasten them. Lead them. Help them. Never says trust them. No. Never. No, it's not there. Right? So don't trust your own children. Why? Because they might lie to you. It's possible. It's just possible. It's in the realm of possibility. They may cheat. They may steal. They may not want to go the same direction you're leading them, and they may try to help divert that. Don't trust them. They may, when they get a little freedom, go some places they shouldn't be going. They may be visiting some things they shouldn't be visiting. Don't trust them. Does that make sense? And so if we're not going to trust our own children, we're definitely not going to trust general people in society. I would even say, prove what you hear from the pulpit. I hope that I've become trustworthy in what I've preached, but never get to the point that I'm so trustworthy that you never check up on me. Right? Trust, but verify. Right? And even with our children, I hope our children are so faithful that there is a level of trust, but that level is not to the point that there's never a checkup. Does that make sense? There's always that's there. I hope in your marriage that there's a level of trust. But never get to the place that there is such a trust that then you could set yourself up later to be disappointed. Does that make sense? Or keep that check from them as well. Amen? And so these are important things. Now, I trust God. He is absolutely trustworthy. And I can trust Him and trust His Word. And I know that He always has my best interest in mind. Amen? But Jesus is just saying, beware. Beware. There are those out there that are trying to deceive you. Amen? And in 1 Corinthians 10, 12, it says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Beware. That if you think you got it all figured out, you're set up to fall. You're set up to fail. Never get to the place that you become the point at which everything else should be judged by. Never get to the place that you trust you. I said before, I don't trust me. Hopefully you don't trust you. Why? Because we carry around this bucket of flesh, amen, this skin and bones and this carnal nature. And it's not been eradicated yet. Amen. So if you think I can do wrong, you're hurting my feelings, then let them be hurt. Amen. We're sinners. Amen. We're sinners by nature, and I praise the Lord that I've been born again. Amen. But my flesh won't be saved until the adoption, to it the redemption of my flesh. Amen. And so for now, I still fail. I sin. I have issues, and God is working on me, and I'm constantly in a battle, it seems. Amen. Like Paul said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Listen up, by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That word castaway there means unapproved, undocumented, not living out what I claim to be as a Christian. Amen. And so just because you're okay with it doesn't mean it's okay. Just because you're doing it doesn't mean it's okay. Just because I'm doing it, we're not the source of truth. God's the source of truth. Amen. And so all this is saying here in this text is there are some things that we need to take heed of, to beware of. And by the way, we should challenge ourselves on why we do what we do, why we say what we do, what we say, why we have set up the life that we should challenge ourselves on this. Amen. Take heed. And part of this is taking heed what ye hear. Take heed with what you're going to allow yourself to hear. Now, the word hear mean here, the word hear here, it simply means to give audience to. All right? If you're walking down the street and someone's blaring their music, right? And you're not tuned into it, you've casually heard it, but you've not really heard it. You haven't given audience to that. Does that make sense? A lot of people, not saying anyone here this is the case, a lot of people find themselves in a group setting, whether a church or at a work meeting. Some workplaces have way too many meetings. Amen. Amen. But John, way too many meetings. And you tune out. You tune out in those times. Amen. And when you do, you really don't hear what's going on. You're there and you hear the noise of it, but you're not really giving audience to it. And unfortunately, if you've taken the time to come to church, you might as well give audience to what's being preached. Amen. The word of God will help you no matter who's preaching it. Right. Amen. Because it's powerful. And so you want to tune in and think through it as it's being spoken. That's what this is talking about. It's talking about take heed what you give audience to, what you're listening to, who you're listening to, what you're tuning into. Amen. Take heed of what ye hear. Amen. Now, why would Jesus say this in this text? This text references us back to be able to really grab hold of what's being talked about here. It references us back into what we've already covered. First in our text was the parable of the sower. And if you recall from that, there was three main characters in a sense of that story. There's the sower, there's the seed, and the soil. It's ground. Yeah, but to keep the S's there, amen, it makes it easier to at least learn. Sower, seed, soil. Sower, seed, and soil, amen. And so there's the sower. He's the one sowing the seed. There's the seed. That's what's being sown. And then there's the soil. That's what the seed is being sown into, amen. And so we have that, and we know that there was different parts or different types of soil. There was the hard, the stony, the thorny, and the good soil. Amen. And then there was the seed. And last week with the light had to do with the sower. And the sower needs to be one that's first been taught by the word. And as we are taught by the word, number one, we get born again to become the sower. And then once we're the sower, we're saved. We have to allow the word of God to remove from us the darkness, to remove from us the evil, right? That's the put off, put on principle of Colossians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 4. And we allow the word of God to purify us and make us a vessel of honor, meet for the master's use. Amen. And we're not going to hide our light. We're going to let our light shine. We hide our light by not allowing the word to work. When the word works, then it brings about a brightness to our countenance. It brings about a brightness to our life because we embody what the word of God is. And so it's important that the sower has already received the message. Amen. If you've ever tried to preach a doctrine or a concept and you've not yet fully accepted it, that's difficult. Like if you're not faithful to church, like every service, don't you find it hard to tell people they need to go to church? You say, you need to go to church. Well, you know, at least some of the time. You find it really, really difficult. Does that make sense? Anything that you've not fully embraced in reference to doctrine, you're going to really struggle teaching it. By the way, if you struggle with your salvation, guess what you find it very difficult to do? Soul win. I was there 2 years. I learned multiple plans. I had to learn a plan because I didn't have it in here. Amen. So I learned multiple plans to get that 1, 2, 3 going, amen, so we can get some prayers going, amen. And I did. I led people up through the Romans Road. I even developed what I called John's Journey, amen. I didn't want to just use Romans Road. I want to be multi, you know, faceted there. So I got John's Journey down, amen. And I went through all kinds of stuff. I learned how to lead people. And every time, in the back of my mind, it's like, man, you don't even know you're saved. I dealt with that for 2 years. Till finally, I was like, I'd say, I'm giving up. I'm done. I'm embracing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I know I'm a sinner, and I cried out to God for my soul's salvation. He transformed me that day. Amen. And made me a new creature in Christ Jesus, just like his word said that that's what would happen to me. Amen. And I've been born again ever since. Hallelujah. And now when I witness to people, I'm not thinking, man, I'm telling them something I'm not even sure of right now. No, I know. I know. I am born again, amen, 100%. I know for sure where I'm going, amen, when I die, because I'm already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus right now, amen. I've been persuaded, like Paul said. So what you're not fully bought into, you really can't teach, and it becomes obscured. It becomes kind of a dark thing. And so if you try to teach something that you're not sure of, or maybe someone else told you, but you've not bought into it, you think it's right, you're just not bought into it, then as you teach it, it's an obscure teaching. It's hard. So the sower, in order to be a right sower, to have that light shine, amen. By the way, you need to look people in their eyes when you're talking to them, amen. And if you're not sure about what you're teaching, you're shifty, right? Well, the light of the body is the eye, amen. I've been talking to people. I know I can be intense, amen. Not on purpose. I don't know where it comes from. I have to say the Lord. But I know at times, like, I'll be like almost staring through somebody when we're engaged, amen, in some good, deep doctrinal discussion, amen. And you can tell they're getting a little uncomfortable, amen. And that's wonderful. And because the Word of God is so powerful, amen. But if we haven't first been taught it and we're not confident in it, amen, then it loses that power. It loses that power. And so anyway, that was last week in reference to the sower. The sower has to not douse his light, amen, but let that light shine, amen. Well, this week is very interesting because we're actually looking at the sower again, but from a little bit different perspective. Look, if you will, to Mark 4 again, and I'm going to read verses 21 now through our text 24 and 25. Listen to this. And I think it'll start to make sense. Mark chapter 4, verse 21. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. So what it's saying in this text is our light must shine for us to be a proper sower. Listen, there will never ever be a seed that grows if the seed's not first sown. We can complain all we want about the condition of our world, but if we're not out there sowing good, godly, proper, soul-saving seed, then we're part of the problem, not part of the solution. If you just wanted a garden to grow in your backyard this year, but you didn't plant any seed, how'd it work out for you? Woo! Man, I didn't sow any seed. Look at that. I got maters growing right there. I got green peppers. Wow, that's amazing. Anybody have that experience this year? No? Not at all. So for there to be a soul saved, there has to be some seed sown. Does that make sense? Okay, so that was the first part. It says, if you have ears to hear, let him hear. What are we supposed to hear? this concept right here, that you as the sower must be the light that's sowing seed. We have to hear that, hear that. You must hear that. But then it says, verse 24, and he said unto them, take heed what you hear. This is powerful. He said, if you have ears to hear what Jesus just said, let them hear. But take heed what ye hear. For what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. To what extent you're sowing seed, that seed will then be measured back to you. To what extent you sow, it will come back. This is the reaping and sowing principle right here in this text. It says, it goes on to say, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Now, in order to sow seed, we must have seed to sow. If you don't have any seed, you can't sow it. You can only sow what you have. I know this is deep. I'm trying to make a connection. Amen. This passage directly links having seed, by the way, which is the Word of God. It's directly linking having it to sow to others so they can hear it. In other words, take heed what ye hear, so that when you take what you've been given, the Word of God, I've heard it, now I can then sow it to others. But if I never hear it, I don't have it to sow it. Do you see how this is talking about those that sow the word? Take heed what ye hear. Amen. Everything we hear affects us. Everything we hear, give audience to, everything we hear affects us. What we hear affects how we receive and process the Word of God. Do you know that this week you could have given audience to things with your ears that disable you today from hearing this? Take heed what you hear. Take heed. So we want to be really careful that we're listening for the right things to say. That's it. I got to give audience to that. Oh, I am not going to give audience to that. No, not for 1 second. Amen. Sometimes the sounds we hear keep us from hearing the Word of God. Those are external sounds or could even be internal sounds. Anybody have a lot of talking going on inside their brain, inside their mind, inside their head? Amen. Anybody else? Man, I got like a group in my head. I don't know about you. Amen. It ain't just one still small voice. It's like a bunch of them. Amen. So we all deal with that. There are external noises coming to us, and there are internal noises. There's external voices, internal voices. There's a lot of voices going on, amen. Take heed what ye hear. By the way, just because there's an internal voice in you doesn't mean you need to listen to it. Amen? Amen. We're just to cast out those imaginations and those thoughts which are against the Word of God, and we're just to bring every thought into the captivity of Christ, the Bible says. Sometimes the sounds we hear cause us to misinterpret the Word of God because we really want something to be true. And we want it to be true so bad that we misinterpret the Scripture so it can seem like God's for it too. And we misinterpret the Word of God based on what we hear, based on who's been talking to us. Sometimes the sounds we hear cause us to reject the Word of God. You know, the Bible declares, in the beginning, God made the heaven and the earth. And do you know from the text in Genesis 1, he made the earth, the heavens and the earth in 6 literal 24-hour days? That is exactly in the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning, every time God connects like evening and morning with day, every time in the scripture, every time it means 24-hour literal day. That's what it means. But do you know if you've been listening to the wrong things, you'll start saying, well, you know, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years one day. That might really be 1,000 years each. It might, no. Because if you study your scripture, every time you'll find when evening and morning are listed with the word day, every time it's 24-hour period. That's what it means. And so if we start listening to the wrong people, we're going to start looking for gaps. We're going to start looking for extended ages. And we're going to say, yeah, but that word day sometimes means age. Yeah, but never does it mean that when it's connected with the other words of evening and morning. Never. Never. So again, just based on what we've heard, maybe in a classroom, maybe in a book, maybe online, just based on what we've already let ourselves hear, it can affect what we hear when we open this. Does that make sense? Do you see how this works? Be careful. Take heed what ye hear. Sometimes the sounds we hear cause us to weaponize the word of God for our own purpose. Have you ever heard a couple of preachers that really know the scriptures who are mad at each other go at it, amen? Woo-hoo! It can get pretty crazy, amen, because they know the word and they'll just start using it. Oh, yeah, well, the Bible says this, you loser, right? And you weaponize it and you use it as a club to beat people up with it, amen. But whoa, 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 that's not what God gave us the word for. The Holy Spirit of God is the mechanism of conviction, not you and I. It's not you and I. Amen. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You're not going to produce a righteous result through unrighteous means. Does that make sense? All right. But depends on who we've listened to. Some people will take that little phrase, righteous indignation. Well, I am righteous to be mad right now. No, you're not. No, you're not. Read Ephesians 4 and tell me. Put away all wrath and all malice and all guile and all evil. Put it all away, amen. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen. So all I'm saying is, depending on who you're listening to and what you've given audience to, you may come away with one thought and then interpret scripture through it, and you were wrong in doing so. Does that make sense? Take heed what ye hear. Gossip. Gossip will cause you, your thoughts to be skewed. Slander. Gossip, slander, complaint. How many like being around complainers? If you're a complainer, what you just said is, you understand why no one wants to be around you. Amen. Complaint is mentioned in lists of ungodliness. Amen. We're not complainers. Listen, there's always a solution. There's always a way to fix things. Amen. Don't look for the problem just to find the problem and complain about it. Look for the problem so you can identify it and then see the Word of God resolve it. Amen. Gossip, slander, complaint, discouragement. There are words of discouragement. You know what discourage means? It means to cause you not to be courageous. Not to be courageous. Amen. Listen, if you're around people that are constantly gossiping, slandering, complaining, and being discouraging, and you're listening to all that, you got to get away from it. You can't. You say, yeah, but it's in my family. You better get it out of there. Whatever it takes, get it. It's corrosive. You say, but this person's really fragile. No, they're not. They're empowered to destroy your family is what they're doing, amen. If someone broke in, you'd get them out. So get that thought of that person out of there and get the complaint out, get the discouraging thoughts out, get the gossip out, get the slander out. You're choosing to go down that route. And it affects everyone as they pay heed to what they're hearing. Take heed what you hear. False teaching, mocking. A lot of mocking going on today in society towards Christianity. Fear-mongering, fearful speech. People running in fear all over the place. God hath not given me the spirit of fear, amen. I don't know about you. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of sound mind. You're not going to cause me to run from something. I can't. Amen. God's called me to stand, not run. Amen. And so fear, the fear that's out. But don't you know what could happen? I really don't care. If God be for us, who can be against us? Don't you understand? If we do that, this might happen. Yeah, but if you don't do it, that might still happen. If we go outside, we might get run over by. I mean, if I go out walking the streets and knock on doors, someone might yell at me. If I go to McDonald's, someone might yell at me. Who cares? And by the way, you might need a good yelling. Keeps us humble, amen. All I'm saying is, I'm not trying to mitigate pain and mitigate anguish and try to keep everything. No, I'm on the front lines, amen. You should be too. And we just put it, if God wants us there, go. If God's called, he'll protect. And by the way, if something happens and you're under God's watch in that regard, amen, don't worry, he'll work through that too. It's all going to work out. He's done promise us that will be the case. He's going to work all things together for good to those that love God, those that are called according to his purpose. What do we have to fear? We don't fear. We trust. We follow. Amen? We follow him. Anyway, false teaching, mocking, fearful speech. How do these affect us? How do these affect people? It causes people to kind of, oh, man. And that's not what God wanted us to be or to do. It's going to affect everything we hear if we give audience to that. On the contrary side, like we gave today, what do words of thanksgiving and praise and showing the right side, what does that do? It encourages us. I was encouraged today by the praises and the different things that y'all gave, amen. And that encourages me. I need encouraged, amen. So these things we want to give audience to and listen to. How about stories of overcoming difficulty? I love to hear those kinds of stories. Man, this person was in this. He's really going through blah, blah, blah. And this is how God worked. And wow, that's amazing. Instead, we get online and say, oh, man, that person has a bump on their finger. And man, for this person, they had to get their finger cut off. And that person, oh, man, that thing just kept growing and growing. They had to get their hand cut off. And that person, that little bump, they never had to get anything cut off, but it just hurt them the rest of their life. They were in torment, that poor little person. What are you doing? Really? Careful. What you give audience to, it's going to affect you. It's going to affect you. Amen. Stories of overcoming difficulty, stories of people persevering through hardship. Every one of us have those stories. Amen? Overcoming. These are important. Amen. How do they affect us? They encourage us. What you heard previous to today will affect what you hear today. What you heard previous to today will affect what you... And I'd also be careful what you hear right before you go to bed. Amen? Take heed what you hear. Now, by the very nature of sowing seed, that's the context of this passage. By the very nature of sowing seed, you always get more of what you sow because the seed returns to you in the fruit of what is sown. So important. This is the key to understanding this verse. If I have pepper seeds, using the example of peppers because I love peppers. Now, if I have pepper seeds and I sow pepper seeds in my garden and they grow, the fruit that they cause the plants to grow, the fruit that I get from that will be peppers that have seeds in them. Kaylee, we're growing bean plants, and a couple of them got yellow. We're like, we can't eat that because they're tough to eat if they're yellow and not crunchy and all that. So on those, what we're doing is, we thought, well, let's just see, because some seeds, I didn't know if they were hybrid or heirloom. And I thought, well, let's just see. So there was a couple that were dried, and Kaylee planted them. Do you know they started growing? And so here is a pod that's yellowed. The seeds, dried them, would have just been no good. We took those seeds, or Kaylee did, planted them, and more plants grew. Okay, we understand that in gardening, but do you know that's also true with our words? If you sow words of discouragement, you will then have a bunch of more seeds of discouragement come back to you in the form of the fruit of the plants that were grown in people that now are discouraged. What you sow will grow. I like people say, I don't have any friends. Are you friendly? Do you put yourself out there? Are you reaching out? Are you acting like a friend? No, I'm demanding others treat me that way. That's totally against the way God made it. God made it such that what we sow will grow. We have returned back to us based on what we're sowing. Say, my spouse needs to be more encouraging. Well, are you encouraging to her or him? Because if you're not, you're probably just getting what you've been sowing. Does this make sense? That's what this passage is talking about. By the very nature of sowing seeds, that's what this is talking about. Now, let's go back and read this text again. Mark chapter 4, verse number 24. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. Why? Well, it answers it. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. Now, what that's saying is this. Take heed what you hear, because based on what you hear and receive, that is what you are going to distribute, you meet. And what you distribute will come back to you multiplied. You take one bean, seed, and off that plant grows a bunch of beans, and they all, each little pod has a bunch of seeds. Always blows me away in reference to corn. One little kernel of corn grows a big corn stalk. And on that corn stalk, just one seed, you have an ear of corn. And I understand only one ear per stalk typically. So I understand. Some could be two, normally one. But on that ear are all these rows of seeds. Corn is seeds. One little seed comes back more than 100-fold. What you sow, one discouraging word could come back 100-fold. Well, I don't like that. I know you should have thought of that before you heard what you heard and sowed what you sowed. And now that it's coming back, you can't just stop it. That's what this is talking about. You and I, remember there's three parts of this. There's the sower, there's the seed, and there's the soil. We're the sower who sows seed. Words. We sow words all the time. And the words we sow grow in people's hearts. My kids are so nasty to me. Are you nasty to them? Do they hear you being nasty to others? And you've sown the seeds. You've sown them. And now you hate it that your garden's growing really good. Right? This is how it works. Do you want things to change? It starts with you. It starts first, not with what you say, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It starts by what you're listening to. And if you keep listening to the wrong things, you're going to keep saying the wrong things. And here's the problem. Every time you speak it, you're sowing seeds. And those kind of seeds grow the best. The weed seeds grow the best. And so if you're sowing these kinds of things, they're going to grow and grow quick. And then you're going to be upset because you're getting barraged with all this negativity and all this garbage and all this. Why is this happening to me? Because of what you let yourself listen to. That's why. That's where it starts. Take heed to what you hear. That's where it starts. You see, people that start having problems in their marriage start letting their fingers do the walking. They get into the computer and they start finding all these other women or all these other men that are going through the same thing. And they're all, just, you're like, oh yeah, that's what's going on. And that's what's, oh yeah, it's her fault, it's his fault. Oh yeah. And you're hearing all this. And then you go home with all this newfound seed resources. And you start, blah, 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 and you're sowing all this nasty seed. And before you know it, it starts coming back at you hundredfold, hundredfold, hundredfold. You're like, I'm done. Whoa, you're done with what? How about you be done with listening to the wrong things? That would be a good start. Amen. How about you be done with allowing your heart to be filled with the bad seed in the first place? That's where it starts. It didn't start with them, it started with you. You're the one that made them like they are. It's their fault. I know, but your part. You've been sowing. Amen. Well, that's what this passage is saying. Let's read it. Verse Mark 4:24, and he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And unto you that hear shall be more be given. What? I've sown it, and now I'm going to be given more of it. For he that hath, to him shall be given. Whatever you have, you're going to be given more of it. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Whatever you say you want but don't have, whatever a little bit might still be left, it's going to be taken from you as the weeds take over. Can I say the opposite works as well? That if we start listening to the right things and the right seeds get put in and we start sowing the right seeds, those right seeds will so fill our life in returning that it pushes that evil out. It works both ways. And that's what this text is saying. How we sow is directly affected by what we hear. Do you want to see people saved? Then sow, listen to the right things so you have seed to sow that leads to people getting saved. Do you want to see people that are discouraged around you? Okay, that's easy. Just listen to a bunch of discouraging things and talk about discouraging things, and you're going to have a room full of discouraged people around you. Perfect. But if you want encouraging people around you, then you're going to have to listen to encouraging things. Even in this dark day that we live, I know a lot of things are going wrong in our world, but you know what? Jesus is still the light of the world, amen, and we through him, and we still have the word of God, and as bad as things are, God's still good. There's a lot of good things still to look at. There's still a lot of good things to hear, and if we'll do that, before you know it, you're going to have all the encouragement you need around you. Why? You've been sowing seeds of encouragement, and those plants are growing. Amen. Take heed what you hear. By the way, wrong music affects your spirit. And if you're listening to the wrong music, then your spirit will be affected, which will cause, the spirit moves us. It'll cause us to go in the wrong direction. And because we're moving in the wrong direction, we'll hear things that are wrong. And then it all leads to the same, that now I'm sowing things that are wrong. And then those wrong things I've sown will come back and fill my life with bad. Does that make sense? This is how it, be careful what you hear. Take heed. Take heed what you hear. Why? Three things and we're done. It will affect you as the sower. That's why. And you are a sower. Like it or not, you and I are sowers. Every person is a sower. You can't stop it. Why should we be careful what we hear? Because it affects you as a sower. Why should we take heed to what we hear? It will affect the seed you sow. Why should you take heed to what you hear? Because what you sow will grow, and that seed will be given back to you, multiplied. Multiplied. God help us, I pray today, to have learned something from this principle of Scripture. I pray that all of us that are born again believers in Jesus Christ would listen to this message so that the seed that we sow would truly be the Word of God.
And God, that not only would we hear the truth of God's word, but then that seed that we sow would multiply in the lives of others, God, and that it would come back and it would just be a flourishing, wonderful, beautiful garden of thine, oh God, in people's lives and ours, and might it affect the world, God, that we live in. Lord, if there's someone lost here today, I pray that, God, that they would allow the good word of God to take root in their soil, and God, that they would see themselves as sinner, that they would see Jesus Christ as the only means by which they can be born again, by the gospel, the good news, the death on the cross, Christ's death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection, dear God. I pray that they would see that this was necessary to deal with and finally eradicate their sin once and for all. God, I pray that you'd help us all to take heed to what we hear today. Help us, dear God, to see how it all just loops right back to us in the form of seed sown, and it multiplies so quickly. Help us, dear God, to have heard from heaven today. And God, I pray you'd move mightily amongst us, God, and be glorified, I pray, through the end result of this message. I pray in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed, just for a moment.